You're listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
I want to assure the community there's no further threat. We are continuing the investigation here. This is still a very active and dynamic scene, so if you can avoid the area, we would appreciate it. And we'll be providing additional updates in the very near future.
Well, there are victims.
Yes, there are victims. So as you can imagine, the campus is a very large area to cover. Much like we had in the aftermath of 1 October, there's a lot of additional calls coming in that students hunkered down, they're afraid, they're scared. Our officers are going unit by unit, building by building, with university police and the rest of the police officers, firefighters, EMS, and making sure that we don't have any additional victims and or subjects. So we'll be back with you in the very near future to provide an update. Thank you.
It's Unnecessary Roughness, presented by the Jewelers of Las Vegas. Here's your boy Q.
That was Sheriff McMahill giving us the latest update, the last update that we had from him on what's going on the campus of UNLV. As he mentioned, there are victims. There's right now 3 victims, unknown injuries, 1 shooter deceased at UNLV. So we continue to update you on that. From LVMPD on Twitter, update on the roads. I-15 has reopened northbound. The I-15 off-ramp for Tropicana to go eastbound towards the strip remains closed. That sounds like it's a positive update. And also the students at Paradise Elementary, located at 900 Cottage Grove Avenue in Vegas, are in a soft lockdown. They are safe. Once the all clear is given, they'll be bused to Orr Middle School, which is in Las Vegas. So it sounds like that is going a little bit better and things are starting to improve. But again, we'll continue to give you updates as we can here on Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920. No easy way to transition and segue into some NFL conversations, but we'll do that now with Ari Mayroff from the 33rdteam.com. And Ari, thanks so much for your time. Sorry for the kind of weird day we're having here. Obviously, it's not a happy day here in Las Vegas with what's going on the campus of UNLV, but we do want to get to some NFL conversation with you. And I wanted to ask you off top about the memo that the NFL sent to all the teams after that 49er Eagle altercation on the sideline, basically saying, hey, this can't happen anymore. So kind of update us on what's going on with that memo and how teams can get in trouble if that kind of activity happens again.
Yeah, Q, obviously a very tough day where you guys are at, and I'm hoping for the best there. But yeah, it was a very odd moment there in the game on Sunday in Philadelphia with Big Dom, who's the Eagles security, putting his hands, I guess, on 49ers linebacker Dre Greenlaw. Both of them get tossed from the game. And it's a situation where teams are told, there's a pretty big rule book, that anybody who is not associated with the game cannot get involved with the players during a game, especially the opposing players. And, of course, that's exactly what happened on Sunday. And essentially the memo was more of a reminder, but at the same time, we're going to see if the NFL actually goes further than that, and they are still investigating the situation, and I would assume we'll have a resolution before the end of the week about if anything happens to the Eagles' head of security. Again, he's known as Big Dom in Philadelphia, and if they do something there, I think the ultimate goal is more of just a message to the rest of the league that if this happens to you, ultimately this is what's going to happen. So I'm curious to see what it is. I don't think it would be something as drastic as taking away your draft picks or something, but it could be he could no longer be in the sideline. It could be a fine. It could be one of those things, because the reality is, when you think about it, Q, like, I think any team would trade, you know, getting rid of your security guard versus getting rid of your top linebacker, or one of your top linebackers. You know what I mean? It's a trade any other team would do, right? So that's really the ultimate goal over here, and I think we'll have an official resolution on what will happen to Philadelphia once the NFL concludes their investigation, probably by the end of the week.
Want to turn our attention to the Buffalo Bills. Are you surprised that there hasn't been a lot of talk about Von Miller? I heard the update that there's a chance that he could play on Sunday, and he's involved in an alleged domestic violence, but his longtime girlfriend and mother of his children has said that nothing has really happened. But are you surprised that the conversation hasn't been louder around Von?
There is a level of surprise in a way, because usually whenever any of this stuff happens, it does, you know, take over the news cycle. But I've always realized that with this type of In the NFL during the season, everything is just so fast-paced, and there's so much going on. There's a game. There's all the games on Sunday. There's a game on Monday night. There's a game on Thursday night. There's all the news that's going on, whether it's hot seat stuff or injuries or signings or trades or whatever, that it just gets lost in the shuffle, unfortunately, right? And it feels like that's kind of what happened here with Venmo. And obviously, you mentioned the story there about what happened and then what she said about the entire situation. And for now, there are no charges filed, because if there were, I would imagine the NFL would step in, and they usually, in these type of situations, would put the player on the commissioner's exempt list, where the player cannot play, he cannot be in the building, but he's still getting paid. But for now, none of that has happened, because there has been no further legal action in all of this. So unless that happens, I think Vaughn will be eligible to play on Sunday, and we'll see if he does, because the reality is, ever since he tore his ACL last year, he has also like just not been the same player.
Yeah.
And there's part of me that is wondering if the Bills are even going to play him. They're coming off a bye just now. I saw their injury report earlier today. He didn't even practice today on a Wednesday coming off a bye because of rest. That's what they listed him as rest.
Wow.
So I'll be keeping an eye on if he even plays on Sunday, regardless of all of this. So it's definitely one to watch. I'm a little bit surprised it hasn't gotten more attention, but at the same time, the way the NFL works, there's so much going on that it just falls behind in the news cycle someplace from now.
If the Bills don't make a deep run in the playoffs this year, or even make the playoffs, and right now they're fighting to try to get into the playoffs, is there a chance that Sean McDermott could be one of those surprise firings at the end of the year?
I've wondered a lot about this, and I really have. I personally feel like it would be surprising to me. First of all, again, this year, they've dealt with a lot of injuries, whether it's Mandolano and Tredavious White and a bunch of other players, Daquan Jones and the defensive line. But besides that, it's like when Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott came in together in 2017, the Bills had not made the playoffs in so long, and they made it in their first year with Tyrod Taylor. Then they trade away Tyrod Taylor, and they drafted Josh Allen, which was the right choice, because that draft had Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen, and they pinpointed on Josh Allen. And ever since then, they've been one of the top teams in the AFC. Now, all of a sudden, we have one bad year. We're calling for the head coach who got them all the way here ever since 2017 to be let go. I don't think it makes much sense. However, I have wondered if there's stuff going on behind the scenes in Buffalo, because last year there was a Leslie Frazier situation, which I know he's with us now at 30-13, but that was I don't think that was a firing or a mutual parting I'm going to take a year off type of a situation. I think there was more there. There was the Ken Dorsey situation this year. So at some point, you also run out of people to blame. And on top of that, I've also wondered if Buffalo wants to go offensive-minded with a head coach. Because, as we all know, if you have a defensive-minded head coach and you have a great offensive coordinator, eventually a team is going to pry away the offensive coordinator to become their head coach. That's what happened with Brian Daboll. So that's the other thing I've been wondering. But when I put it all together, I don't think it's fair for Sean McDermott to be fired after one bad year, after taking over this team in 2017, having all the success basically every year since.
All right, May Ruff from the 33rdteam.com is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Unnecessary Roughness, just talking all things NFL right now. And on Monday Night Football, we saw Trevor Lawrence go down. We know he has a high ankle sprain. He met with the media today, and he wasn't wearing a walking boot, so it looks like a pretty good update there. But if he's going to miss some time, and I don't know how much he's going to miss, if he ends up missing some time, how tight could that race in the AFC South? I mean, how much could that really change the game for the Jaguars moving forward?
I mean, that division, which everyone thought was one of the more weaker divisions going into the year, has become an unbelievable race. I mean, it's really going to go down to the wire. And again, we don't know how long Trevor Lawrence is going to be out. You mentioned no boot. That's a good sign. But high ankle sprains generally are a multi-week injury. And I know we saw Patrick Mahomes last year. Some ways they'll play through it. But usually you don't want to play with fire with those injuries. So I would not be surprised if he misses time, and I'm looking really at this Jacksonville schedule. They're very lucky, first of all. They were able to get that win over Houston 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
If they had not, we would have a completely different picture right now. But you get a game in Cleveland this week. against the Browns, a very good defense. If it's C.J. Beathard starting, I think it's going to be a tough day possibly for him. Obviously, Cleveland has their own backup quarterback, but that game all of a sudden becomes crucial, not just for them to keep it up in AFC South, but all of a sudden if they lose that game could become crucial for AFC wildcard positioning if they do fall out of first place in AFC South. So there's a lot going on over here, and Jacksonville is not just Trevor Lawrence. They're very banged up coming out of that game. It's Christian Kirk. It's Walker Little. They have a couple other players as well who got banged up in that game. So they're very banged up right now. And, you know, C.J. Stroud has been amazing. And Gardner Minshew is finding a way every week, even without Jonathan Taylor. So this division could very well go down to the wire. It's unfortunate that their Week 18 game is Jaguars-Titans. It's not going to be a Week 18 flex over there. But whatever it is, this division could definitely go down all the way to the end.
Again, Ari Mayrob from 3013.com is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Well, how about Zach Wilson? He's back, right? They bench him. They bring in Tim Boyle. Then they get rid of Tim Boyle. Now Zach Wilson is back. What is going on with the Jets? How much is this going to help? And are you surprised that he said, yeah, no doubt, let me go ahead and get back under center?
Yeah, it's been a crazy, and I'm here in New York. It's been a crazy few days here trying to figure out exactly what is going on, how accurate that report was. He just spoke to reporters and said it's not true. I have my own thoughts on it, which is for another time. We won't get into it now. But, like, listen, you have a chance to play football again. And, yes, you've been benched. And the guys who they benched you for were Tim Boyle, who they released already, and Trevor Siemian, who played a little bit last week. Those two guys did not look great either. I mean, they're going to try to go with him again. I mean, I feel like the Jets and that entire coaching staff and the players there just want the season to be over with already. They've gone through, I think, 15 different offensive line combinations this year. They've had a bunch of injuries. No one expected it to be like this, four plays into the year, not to have Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
It's been a very tough year. But this is like their best opportunity. I think when they benched Zach Wilson, the intention really was, we're done with this. Like, former number two overall pick, we tried everything, it's not working, forget about it, third string quarterback, let's see what we got off these guys. And all of a sudden, Boyle was even worse, and Siemian came in last week, and he was even worse than that. And like, okay, we really have nothing here. So I think they're going to try Zach again, and we'll see how he does this week. He told reporters just now that he's going to play and have as much fun as he possibly ever had. He's going to forget about everything, and we'll see what that means. But I don't know. They signed Brett Rippon as well. Maybe he eventually gets a job if Zach continues not to play well. I think in Jets land right now, in that building, it's all about let's just finish these 5 weeks to get to the offseason ready. And whatever it takes to get there, hopefully it goes fast. I mean, that's really the way I look at it with what's going on over there.
Right, there's no doubt about that. And we'll close out with this. Gardner Minshew is doing some nice things in Indianapolis with the Colts. Could he possibly be a guy that ends up getting another GM or coach fired because they didn't go and sign him when they had the opportunity to, like the Jets?
it's amazing because I've spoken to a bunch of people about this, and I'll have a video about this coming out probably later this week. A big emphasis around the league going into the offseason is going to be backup quarterbacks. And I would not be surprised if backup quarterbacks start getting paid way more. Gardner Minshew signed a one-year, $3.5 million deal in the offseason. I think he's going to get a lucrative contract compared to that. I don't know what it is, but 1 year 12, 1 year 13, whatever it is. And I think there are GMs around the NFL, whether it's Howie Roseman in Philadelphia, whether they've always had Nick Foles, and they had Minshew, and they had Marcus Mariota, and the Saints have had this also with Teddy Bridgewater and Jameis Winston, but they care about the backup quarterback because that is an important position for them, because if you lose a starter, then it's basically over. So to have somebody there. There are other teams who are just don't care about it. And I think this offseason, we're going to see these guys who have proven to play well get paid like much better, you know, salaries, and whether that's Minshew and Josh Dobbs and those type of players. I think there's going to be a pretty big emphasis on having a reliable backup quarterback who, in a worst-case scenario, could come in. Those days of having the developmental guy as the backup, or having the guy who is a future coach who can't really play that well as the backup, I think those days are kind of over. Those guys might be quarterback three. But I think we're going to see a pretty large emphasis on people getting a reliable backup quarterback. and their markets are going to go up. And that's good news for Gardner Minshew will be a free agent. It's good news for Josh Dodd, who will be a free agent, and a few other quarterbacks will be free agents as well later this offseason.
Got to get your backup quarterback. You just never know. There's so many quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks, that are either out for the season or going to miss a significant amount of time. Well, Ari, good stuff as always, my man. What are you working on, 33rdteam.com, that we should be on the lookout for?
Yep. So, as always, we've got all our amazing contributors and writers on the website doing their stuff, from, you know, Rich Gannon and Mike Martz and Rondé Barber. The new episode with the same Brown brothers actually dropped today. They play each other again this week, and those two are very entertaining. As for myself, as I mentioned, I have that piece coming out here this week about the backup quarterback position, like we just spoke about, and how important that's going to be this offseason. And the article with, like I teased the last couple of times I've been on here, of players who are going to get paid more than you would expect here in the free agency coming up here this offseason, that is dropping tomorrow morning as well. So nice. We're going to have that coming out. So a lot going on with the website. As always, check it out, and I'm sure you'll enjoy.
Yes, will do for sure. 33rdteam.com, Ari Mayrov at My Sports Update on Twitter. Hey, thanks so much for your time, my man. I appreciate you kind of bearing with us as we're dealing with a whole lot here in Las Vegas today.
Absolutely, guys. Stay safe.
Thank you so much, my man. I appreciate you. There he goes, Ari Mayrov, good friend of the show. 33rdteam.com is the website. Check them out. It's one of my go-to spots, and they have a lot of really good contributors on that website, including former Raider quarterback Rich Gannon and a whole lot more. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get an update. We'll go out into the streets and find out what's going on the campus of UNLV and give you an update what's going on there. And we'll get to Adam Hill coming up at 3:30. It's Unnecessary Roughness here on Raider Nation Radio 920.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Building still being cleared. The Las Vegas Metro Police Department says one suspect is deceased and at least three victims. They'll continue to give us updates as we're talking about the shooting on the campus of UNLV. We've been trying to navigate with sports and also keep you updated with what's going on here on Unnecessary Roughness. Glenn, hit us up on the don'tbebroke.com text line at 702-365-9200. Hey, Q and Ari, got back from Seattle, had a great time, but then got sad when I heard what happened at UNLV. Prayers only go so far. When is real change coming to stop incidents like this? My heart is with all of you. That's Glenn in San Jose. Then Miller Raider said, hey, Q, thoughts and prayers to those involved at UNLV and the Vegas community. I might be here in Idaho, but Vegas is in my heart right now, hoping for the best for Vegas. Sometimes football needs to take a back seat. Thanks so much for those texts. We do appreciate that. And really, that's the way to communicate with us throughout the course of the show today is by the don'tbebroke.com text line at 702-365-9200. Let's go back to the campus of UNLV, and I believe, are we going to the hospital? In front of the hospital, there's a reporter, I think, on Fox 5 News. Let's go ahead and get an update. What's going on there?
Shauna, you mentioned they'll be assigned a navigator. Is this in a human form, or is this something that they will be given an iPad and told to fill out what they need?
I mean, of course, human interaction is very important right mm-hmm. now after such an emotional situation. So that's what they're calling these counselors or people that are going to help them navigate the situation. A lot of them might need a counselor, just somebody to talk to right now. So they're going to direct them to those people, anything they may need. They have behavioral services available. So a lot of people here on standby waiting to help these students cope with the aftermath of this until they can be reunited with their families who are anxiously waiting. We have a couple that we've seen out here waiting for their students to arrive here.
And unfortunately, they have experience in this. After 1 October, they set up the 1 October Resiliency Center, I believe, at the Convention Center. And so perhaps some of the same people who were staffing that at that time are also on hand for today, too, and they have that kind of experience to deal with this. All right, Shauna Calafi, thank you.
And also,
so that was just a quick update of what's going on in front of the hospital there in the streets. And we'll get you a better update than that. That wasn't the update I was expecting it to be, so that's okay. We'll get you an update on what's going on. Want a little bit more details. And it sounds like things are starting to clear up, but I don't want to get too far ahead of myself and say that things are getting better, because clearly this is a work in progress, and they're trying to navigate through and figure out exactly what's going on, where's the victims at, where's, you know, where anyone injured, if they need to go, you know, to the hospital or whatever. So we'll continue to update you as we get the information here on Raider Nation Radio 920. I was just checking out the Las Vegas Metro Police Department, their Twitter account. Again, the last update they had is that the students at Paradise Elementary are safe, which is a great thing. And they're in a soft lockdown right now. And once the all is clear is given, then they'll be taken to safety again over at Orr Middle School. So that's good. If you know anyone who may be, you know, checking on their child or wants to check on their child, that's something that they definitely, you know, that sounds like they're in a safe place there. Again, seeing videos right now on Fox 5 News from some of the videos taken by the students on UNLV campus and the fact that, you know, the police that were in there and they've done a great job really evacuating as many students as possible. And it's still, again, a work in progress. But all the students really scared and really walking out of there, they all have to have their hands up because you just never know where this, you know, first original shooter even came from and who they were, what they identify as. And so you have to be as careful as possible. So that's what they're doing. So some of the videos that we're seeing right now, it's unimaginable. It really is. So just, again, prayers and thoughts. And similar to our texter, Glenn in San Jose, you know, prayers and thoughts only go so far. When is stuff like this going to come to an end? And that's got to be the question that's asked. And it should be the question that's been asked for quite a while, you know. And I'm not one that's going to get – I'm not a, you know, political guy. I'm not going to get into what you can own, what you can't own, this, that, and the other. But all I care about is what Glenn is talking about and what others are talking about. And that's the safety of students when they go to school. They shouldn't have to worry about if they're going to be okay, if they're going to be able to go back home and see their parents or, you know, see their loved ones, see their, you know, brothers and sisters, this, that, and the other. You should feel pretty comfortable and confident that when your kid goes to school, they're going to come home from school, that they're in a nice, safe place. But unfortunately, across the country, not just here exclusive to Vegas, there's these kind of incidents that happen all the time. And it's really sad that we're becoming so numb to this situation. And, you know, as soon as this hit, the first thing I did was, you know, send a text to Little Q, hey, man, you know, be safe out there, right? I mean, you just never know what's going on around you. Always, you know, be looking over your back. And it sucks that we have to kind of live like that, where we always have to be a little, I won't say scary, but always want to see and know what's going on around us. But we have to. We really have to go and see what's, and be very cautious about what's going on around us. I think, all right, we can go back out to the hospital right now and check in with Shauna and see what she's talking about.
Any assistance or any victims. And as you saw the video of Joe Vigil, you saw the students, a lot of them had their hands up in the air. They didn't have their backpacks and their phones on them. And that's why the reunification center is going to be so crucial for all these students.
And that's where Shauna Kalafi is standing by live now as those students are taken to the reunification center. Shauna.
Yeah, we're expecting them to arrive any moment now. We have seen what we believe are some families arriving here at the Reunification Center that is set up inside of the North Halls of the Las Vegas Convention Center. We just talked to a representative with Clark County who is responsible for setting up this process of reuniting students with their families. He told us the buses of students will arrive here and then each of them will input their names into a computer system. That's how they're going to keep track of all the students that are here at the Reunification Center. And while they wait for their loved ones to arrive and to be reunited, they're going to be assigned a person who they call a navigator that's going to direct them to any services they need. So they have counselors, behavioral health specialists on staff ready to assist these students as they cope with the immediate aftermath of this very scary situation for a lot of them. And we've already seen a few emotional reunions. We talked to a mother and daughter who were, of course, very happy to see each other, to know that her daughter is okay. Her daughter's a student as well as an employee at UNLV. She also has another daughter who is a high school student, and she tells us that this is something she fears every single day when her students go to school. Of course, they are happy that the daughter is okay and praying for the other families affected by this shooting. Again, the Reunification Center is here at the Las Vegas Convention Center inside of the North Halls. There's also a reunification hotline that is 702-455-2433. And we'll be out here monitoring this situation. It looks like we have a bus arriving now, and so some reuniting will be happening soon with loved ones here at the Las Vegas Convention Center.
To give you an idea of just how big this operation is, they are using RTC buses now to transport all those students who need to be taken over there to be taken over there. Shauna, any word on just how long this process lasts for them to give their information?
We're not sure, but they are prepared, it seems, to be here all day. Of course, this is going to be a complicated process, but through that computer system, they're hoping to make this seamless for the families, as well as the hotline. Utilize that if you need help with the reunification process. Of course, there are a lot of students, even staff, affected by this, so just be patient. While they're waiting, the students are going to be able to get those services that they need, those counselors to talk to. So we are just waiting for some emotional reunions that are going to be happening here at the convention center.
Shauna Kalafi, thanks so much. And while we have the website up, if you go there, here is some information that you have. They give details about the virtual intake system. Certainly, there are family members in town, but there's also a lot of family members out of town. And so this is going to provide information for your loved one, if whether you are in Las Vegas or out of Las Vegas, and also how your student or loved one or faculty member, their name, as Shauna said, is going to be put into this virtual system. Also, some of the services they are offering here, they are going to help with lodging, ground transportation, counseling, maybe some documents, health insurance, any health care assistance, and also this is going to be a bilingual service. Anyone who is out of town, you can also still call this number and get help, 702-455-8243.
And we want to update you now on the road situation around UNLV. As you can understand, it's going to be closed off for some time.
So that's the latest update right there from the campus of UNLV. And there's a lot of different reporters in and around town on the campus, or also at the hospitals, and obviously in the reunification center, and they're trying to navigate everything. So just kind of bear with us as we go in and out, dip in and out with different reporters to give us updates on what's going on, and keep us abreast of the situation. Again, this is one of those that there is no playbook to, right? There's no owner's manual of, okay, this is how you handle this. You just do the best that you can, and we're doing the very best that we can here in and out of these situations that is going on. And all we could do is hope for the best. And all we know for now is that there's three victims, and there's multiple people that have been taken to the hospital. The injuries are not being it's not being known. How about that? And so they're going to let us know as soon as possible, and we'll find out. Again, this is not going to be the smoothest show that we've ever had, and I don't expect it to be. And we're working our way through it the best that we can, trying to read updates, trying to hear updates, and also try to do the show at the same time and navigate in between and out of guests. And we're supposed to be talking with Adam Hill from the RJ, who went to UNLV, so I'm sure that he's got some kind of feelings about this situation and what's going on with the school that he went to earlier. Actually, when I first saw this news around noon, the first person I thought of was Paul Gutierrez, because his son goes to UNLV. So I immediately reached out to him, and he said, yeah, he's actually in math class right now. So can you imagine Paul, who's there at the Raider facility? I saw him earlier this morning while we were talking to Coach Pierce, and he's sitting there trying to find out what's going on with his son, who's sitting there in math. But he said, yeah, we've been texting back and forth, he's in math, and so he's good. But that was immediately who I thought of first, because I knew that he was going, that he goes to UNLV. And again, you've just really got to be cautious of what's going on. You've really got to be understanding of what's going on, and really kind of look out for everyone around you to make sure that everyone's good. Disclose, that's the word. Thank you. Just got a tweet. That was the word I was looking for. That was the D word. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Again, this is not going to be the smoothest show. There is no script with this, and it's just raw, and it's not the easiest thing to talk about at times. But again, we're going to do our very best, and it just wouldn't be right if we went full blown to do a show and we're laughing and joking and this, that, and the other. And, you know, this player better step up and do this. And, well, if Max is, I mean, it just wouldn't be right. But at the same time, I'm not going to leave you without anything. So that's kind of the challenge that we face here today on Unnecessary Roughness Raider Nation Radio 920. And the good thing about sports is it does help us kind of get past and move past tough situations like this. But it would be ignorant and disrespectful if I tried to ignore it and act like it wasn't going on. And I know it's going on right down the street. Like I refuse to do that. JT refuses to do that. And any of us, our sister station, Coalfield and Company, obviously the franchise, the flagship station of UNLV, they've already canceled their basketball game that they had tonight for good reason. Right. Again, there's more important things than a college basketball game. It's about being safe and making sure everyone on campus is safe and they know exactly what's going on. As mentioned, we're going to have Adam Hill on the phone lines, and he is joining us now from the RJ and obviously does a heck of a job on ESPN Las Vegas and a UNLV alum. And Adam, man, I didn't think when I talked to you today that we'd be talking about shooting on the campus of UNLV, but is there anything that you know that maybe we don't know, any kind of updates that you know about the situation going on? Is anyone that you know, like friends and family, safe and good right now?
Yeah, I've been, you know, more in personal mode than work mode for a couple hours. That I'm sure that switch will flip here soon as you try to dig into what happened and, you know, why and all those things. So right now I'm just kind of checking. I know a lot of people have two friends who have kids that are very close to me that are on campus, and one had left, and one is actually still in the classroom at the moment. So, you know, they're still they're you know, emptying the classrooms one at a time. So it's going to take some time to get all the kids off campus, but talk to them, talk to a bunch of kids I know that are, you know, students that I've worked with, and, you know, kind
of. Oh, we lost them. I think we lost them. Yeah, you can hear the emotions right there in Adam. You can hear him, and he obviously knows a lot more people on campus and a lot more friends than we have there. I think Adam joins us again. I think he's back.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know where I cut off there, but yeah, you know, I've heard from everybody that I think I know that was over there.
Good.
But you kind of forget some people too. I just actually got a text like 10 minutes ago from somebody who I'd forgotten worked on campus, and they're like, "Yeah, I just want you to know I'm good." I'm like, "Oh, I forgot that you even were working over there." So, it's. You know, it sucks and tragedy. It's something we've, you know, had to deal with far too often, and you just hope that, it stops soon, but we know it won't.
Right, and that's the thing, Adam. It bothers me that we're so numb to this situation, and even when it hits close to home, we're like, man, and it's emotional and it sucks, but we just know how often it happens, and I don't see any end in sight.
No, and it's, you know, it obviously immediately becomes political, and,
right.
And
that's
it sucks
not
that
me.
It does, but...
yeah.
It does, and you know, just it is what it is. And there's people that right away will say, "Let's get rid of all guns." And I think everybody on the planet would be for that if you could actually get rid of all the guns.
Right.
But that's not a reality, and it sucks. And then the other side will say, "No, it's not guns; it's mental health." And then we'll say, "Okay, cool. Let's dedicate a bunch of resources to mental health." Oh, no. We're not going to do that. We don't want to, you know, give money to that. So it just sucks. Never ending cycle, and people use it to, you know, try to make their political points, and we'll have to deal with this again, and hopefully, you know, not soon, and hopefully not too many people die, but that's what we're dealing with now, and it sucks.
Yeah, and the latest update that I saw, and I'm sure you're seeing the same thing, is three victims. The one shooter for sure is deceased, and there's multiple injuries. That's the latest that we have. We have Fox 5 pumped in here at the station the whole show, and so it sounds like maybe they you know, avoided massive tragedy, but at the same time, one life alone is massive enough.
Yeah, one is too many. But yep. I think I'm very hesitant about numbers because, look, it's ridiculous to say. I was kind of thought what would be worse than covering a mass shooting, and it's, I guess, covering two.
Right.
You know, after covering October 1st, there was so much early information that was wrong, and it's not because it's wrong. Like, people get all outraged, like, "Well, you said this," or "You said this." Like,
right.
It's not what happened. I mean, for those that don't know, that weren't here, and you know, not to relive history or whatever, but it was, you know, a lot of people got shot in one location, and then they all dispersed and ran over town and said, "Hey, I was shot," and then, "Oh, now there's a shooting at this place. Now there's a shooting at this place." Like, no, that's
right.
People dispersing from the place, and then people are like, "You said this." Like, no, that it's just preliminary information is never the most reliable. And so I think, you know, a lot of us are just kind of waiting on real information and you know, hoping to get the most accurate things possible out to the people.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all that we're trying to do. We're trying to update people. And at the same time, I mean, it's a sports show. But at this time, Adam, it seems like sports is the last thing really on our mind, even though
sports is life. Q, I'll say this. You know, obviously, I'm a UNLV alum, as you pointed out. And, you know, I tend to wear a lot of UNLV hats and stuff around the facility. And I walked into the Raiders locker room just, you know, 40 minutes ago, whatever it was. And literally players just were running up to me like, hey, what's going on? What's going on? What have you heard? What's the latest? Like, it's life, man. It's
right.
Like, you know, these, especially when you're talking about the Raiders, and you know, obviously it's a football show and you talk about them, but they live in the community too. They're part of our community. So that's, you know, that's very relevant.
What was their reaction from the guys that you talked to? I mean, outside of just asking what was going on.
That was mostly it. They just want information. You know, it's one of the things. They were on the practice field, right? So while we've all been tuned in social media and news and all of that, like, they were practicing. Like, they just found out that it even happened, like, you know, like 30 seconds before I walked in the locker room. So they were just, it was more just like shock and trying to find out whatever the most, you know, the most updated and most potentially accurate information is at the moment. And they were all just kind of in shock. I think that's how everybody is.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I was really concerned. I wasn't here, obviously, for 1 October, but I was really concerned when they shut down I-15, because I remember that's what they did for 1 October, right? They shut that down so the you know, so the vehicles could get in and out and transport people to the hospital. So, again,
I think I also, not to cut you off, sorry.
I
think there's a lot of lessons learned.
Yeah.
Because I think that took some time to figure those things out last time. And this time it was immediate. It was, the hospitals were locked down to make sure that they were ready to take as many victims as there possibly could be. You know, they didn't know if it was 3 or 300.
Right.
And so they have a plan in place, like, hey, when there's a mass shooting event, whether that's, you know, multiple people or, you know, many, many people, this is the plan. You lock down the hospitals, you lock down the roads that get to the hospitals, and you make sure that you can safely and quickly and efficiently transport whatever, you know, victims there could be. And so I think what we saw was a plan that was put into place, that was worked on and kind of, you know, hoped that it would never have to be used. But I think you have to credit, you know, law enforcement and a lot of the agencies around here for just having a plan and implementing it as quickly as they did.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, as soon as I heard the news, I reached out to Paul, and he said that his son was in math class, so he was good. I forgot Vinny's son goes there as well. Did Vinny say anything about his son?
Yeah, actually, he's right here. So both
okay.
of them are.
Oh, Vinny and his son, or Vinny and Paul?
No, Vinny and Paul are both right
okay.
here. So yeah, they're good. So
okay,
you know,
good. Man, yeah. that's the worst feeling ever, man. It really is. Just knowing that, you know, you have no control of what's going on and have no idea what it is. Well, Adam, thanks, man, for checking in with us. Appreciate you, man. Give Vinny and Paul a hug, and give their kids some hugs too for us. But we definitely appreciate you checking in and sharing a few minutes with us today.
Yeah, and also Michael Mayer, elite blocker. That story is coming tomorrow. I just talked to him. So
okay. All right. Sounds good. Hey, thanks so much, man. Appreciate you. There he goes, Adam Hill. Good stuff from him. And that's right. I got the text on here from Danny that, oh, yeah, Q, Vinny's son Noah goes to UNLV. And I totally forgot about that, because he was looking at so many other different schools, and they had gone on tour and gone to Ole Miss and was talking about this, that, and the other. But you're right. He does go to UNLV as well. A couple quick texts. Bill said, Q, this is freaking disgusting. People have lost their minds for this to keep happening every day in America. Us prayers for all the families. And then the message again about Noah going to UNLV, Vinny's son. We've got to get our country sane for the sake of our children and our grandchildren. That's from Danny on the don'tbebroke.com text line as well. And yeah, man, that's the thing about it, man. I mean, it's not getting better. It really isn't. And like Adam just said, right, someone's going to use it to their advantage to make it a political story when it's not. For me, it's not. It's a safety story. It's a story about making sure our kids are safe, making sure our schools are safe, so my kids' kids will be safe, so your kids' kids will be safe. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. I don't care what you believe, this and that, who, whatever. None of that matters to me. All that matters to me is safety, safety, and more safety. 3:43 is the time. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, close out hour number two of the show. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by Porta Subs. Make sure you check out Porta Subs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area Porta Subs, neighborhood sandwich shops. Order ahead at Porta Subs. unnecessaryroughness.com.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Coming up at 4 o'clock, hour number 3 of the show, we'll have Andre Snellings from ESPN. He'll talk about the in-season tournament as the final four teams are set. You've got the Boston Celtics. You don't have the Boston Celtics. You have the Milwaukee Bucks. You've got the Milwaukee Bucks taking on the Indiana Pacers, and you have the Lakers taking on the New Orleans Pelicans. We'll talk about that coming up at the top of the hour with Andre Snellings again from ESPN. Quick update from the Las Vegas Metro Police Department on Twitter at LVMPD. According to our investigators at the scene, we have 3 deceased victims and 1 additional victim in critical condition at a local hospital. The suspect in this active shooter incident is also deceased. We'll update as soon as we can with accurate information. And that's what we've been working on throughout the course of the show. It's been very difficult to talk about and navigate because this is not something that we can come in and have a bunch of jokes about and have a bunch of debates about. There is nothing to debate when it comes to life. The Raiders just put out a statement as well. The Raiders are deeply saddened by the tragic events that occurred at UNLV today. Our hearts go out to the victims, their families, and all those affected by this senseless act of violence. We are committed to helping our friends at UNLV and the greater Las Vegas community heal and are grateful for the efforts of our first responders. And yes, that's something that does not get talked about enough. And you know, what's even worse is today, and I believe maybe on Monday, there was supposed to be, I know for sure today, there was supposed to be a memorial for the state troopers that lost their life earlier last week because of a drunk driver ran into them while they were helping the community in the early wee mornings of the morning. I think it was late last week. And that was supposed to happen at Allegiant Stadium. I know that that's been canceled today, but those are the ones that are out there. And they're helping keep our community safe. And the first responders are out there doing all the work, like right now, trying to make sure all our kids get home and come home to us. And I know that things don't always go super smooth when it comes to, you know, everyone getting along with everyone. But at the end of the day, man, those guys have the toughest jobs. The first responders, the state troopers, the local police department, and I could never, ever put myself in their shoes with what they have to go through each and every day. And so I don't think we'd thank them enough for the work that they do, especially the ones that go over and beyond the call of duty to really make sure that our streets are safe. And I'll tell you, and I'm not just talking about Las Vegas, I'm talking about in general. It is not easy to do what they do, but there's someone who's able to, put their sacrifice themselves each and every day. When they leave the house, they don't know if they're coming back, just like the state troopers that we lost late last week. And that's something that never is talked about enough. And I want to make sure that that is acknowledged here on Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920. As a matter of fact, I believe a student employee is standing by with Shauna right now from Fox 5. Let's hear from her real quick.
Already seen very many emotional reunions between families. We spoke to one student and employee at UNLV about her experience while she was on lockdown, she said, for several hours today.
To her email and to...
Like 2 minutes, boom, 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 more shots. So I ran into a basement, and then we were in the basement for like 20 minutes, and I was hearing shots outside, and I was hearing police. And then the police just evacuated me out. I had my hands over my head. And yeah, I was just hearing like a lot of shots. I didn't know how many shooters there were. I don't really know anything. So, and I was just sitting on the steps out in the open, and there was like an event going on. Like there was like a Lego party, and everyone's just kind of concerned and looking around, and then boom, everyone's running. And I didn't know what was happening. I was like, I guess we're all running. I'm running.
There you go. I guess they're all running. I'm running. Think about that. We used to do that. We used to do that for fights, right? At some big events, all of a sudden you see people running, you start running. But think about that. She said, I guess they're all running, I'm running. That is incredible right there. And so I can only imagine, like even the students that aren't victims, like the ones that weren't hit or affected as far as literally being shot, think about the trauma in their heads. Think about what they had to endure. Think about what they had to go through today at school. I mean, let that soak in. Think about what they had to go through in school. As I have Fox 5 on, and I've had it on all day, I'm seeing, you know, students hugging their parents and just tears rolling down their eyes because they're thinking of what they heard. Just like the young lady that we heard from earlier today that, you know, she was standing on the toilet, heard someone coming in the bathroom and didn't know if it was people to help her or people to hurt her. You know how difficult that's going to be for her just moving forward? And I'm sure she has, you know, some really strong family and friends, and there's plenty of outlets to help, but should our kids have to do that? Should our kids have to go through outlets to help them get through something when they were in school trying to learn and better themselves? That's all they were trying to do. The president and his wife just put out a statement. Jill and I joined citizens across our nation in praying for the families of our fallen and for those who were injured during these latest acts of senseless violence. That's from President Joe Biden. Quick statement from him. So, again, something that you can't prepare yourself for. Like, no parent prepares himself for, hey, well, little Johnny's leaving the house today. Let me prepare myself just in case he doesn't come back. Like, you can't do that. You just can't. And you shouldn't have to. I mean, you really shouldn't have to. You should know that when you're sending your kids to school, they're good, whether they're in kindergarten or they're in college. If they're on campus anywhere, they should be good. Unfortunately, that's not what it is. We heard from Adam Hill earlier this hour. You can hear the emotions in his voice. He's a UNLV alum, right? Can you imagine what Vinny was going through? Do you imagine the thoughts of Vinny's mind until he had a chance to catch up with his son, to know that his son was good? Can you imagine what Paul was going through, Paul Gutierrez, until he got a chance to catch up with his son? I can't imagine. I promise you, I reached out to my son. He's like, yeah, I saw. That's crazy. Yeah, it is. Be safe out there. So, again, we've been doing the very best we can to monitor this situation and give all the updates and information that we need to do, and that's part of our responsibility as we are here in the community. We're going to make sure that we take care of the community. Yeah, we're going to give you some sports as well, but just bear with us, or don't. I mean, really, I mean, it's just that simple. I would never tell you not to listen, but I understand. I understand. So, we got one more hour to go. We have Andre Snellings from ESPN coming up to kick off the hour. We'll talk about the in-season tournament that's, oh, by the way, being played here in Las Vegas. We'll talk about that, and we'll continue to monitor the situation that's going on here in Las Vegas on the campus of UNLV. 3:55 is the time. Thanks to all the texts that we've gotten, all the prayers and thoughts on our don'tbebroke.com text line. Andre Snellings joins us next. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.